Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering, and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering, and took an handful thereof, and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burned the fat upon the altar. And the breasts and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell upon their faces. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Several different kinds of offerings that are being offered. Putting the tabernacle into service for the first time. This is a very dramatic and watershed kind of passage. It marks the beginning of a new era for the people of God. This is, if you will, if the coming out of the land of Egypt was their their birth as a nation, and their taking the vows at the base of Sinai, their birth as a church. This here is, in a sense, their birth as a worshiping people. They have a new way to worship the Lord at the command of the King of the church. And so now when they come before the Lord, they will no longer worship as they had before. They will no longer offer their own offerings with regard to their own families. They will come to the place where God has set His name, where He has set His special covenantal presence. And that is the place where they will worship. So there are offerings that are offered. First, Aaron goes forth. Now this is the eighth day. This is after their 7 days of consecration. And so, can we say it this way? On the first day of the week, the high priest is presented to the people. There's a typology there, isn't there? On the first day of the week, then, Aaron comes forth from his 7 days of consecration, and he comes forth as the great high priest, and the first thing that he does is he offers for himself. Then he offers for his sons. Then he offers for the people, and then he offers the offering of the peace offerings. And in every one of those ceremonies, while there are things said and things left unsaid, there are several things in common. Let's talk about what is said that is in common. That number one, there is an animal that is slain, its throat is cut, and that blood is collected. And while it is still warm, Aaron's sons bring that blood to Aaron, and Aaron makes a splash of it upon the altar and wipes some of it on the horns of the altar. Now remember, the altar was some 5 feet high. So Aaron reaches up and he, you know, just little promontories, little corners that kind of stick up beyond the rest. Those are the horns of the altar at all four corners. And then on the side of the altar, there was the direction we read a couple of chapters ago that it was splashed almost along the side of that altar so that the violence of sin would be known to the people. As Andrew Bonar puts it, the sermon of the blood. I think that's really well said. The sermon of the blood is preached before the people as the blood is spread upon the horns of the altar and splashed upon the side, speaking about the violent taking away of life which is due to any that would sin against the Lord their God. So that kind of offering is offered for Aaron, for his sons, and for the people. Then remember, the deepest and richest parts are brought. And they are brought and they are set down on the altar. There's no fire yet, but they're set there. Of course, the deepest and richest parts, those are generally speaking consecratory offerings where the Lord is requiring of us that He desires truth in the inward parts. Our deepest part belongs to Him. Then there is the breasts, and those are the choice portion for food. And there is one sense in which they are laid upon the altar, and there's another sense in which they are consumed. And so both are true in that there is a communion then that takes place before God and His people in the sense of a peace offering. That they're sitting down with God at peace and eating together just like they did at the base of Sinai. And if you remember at the base of Sinai when those 70 elders went up, do you remember how Moses puts it? They saw the God of Israel and what? They were not consumed. They were in God's presence and He did not break out upon them. They were at peace. They ate a meal together. And that's what the peace offerings are all about. It is the eating of a meal in the presence of God, testifying to the peace that exists through the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That we ourselves, though sinners as we are, can be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. So then all of the offerings have been offered. And when all of that work is done, and how long do you think that would take? Have you ever butchered an animal yourself? Have you ever done that? Have you ever maybe killed hunting, you've killed a deer, and you've taken that animal apart? We have a saying among hunters, And that is that some like bird hunting better and some like deer hunting better, or, you know, game hunting like that. Because when you hunt birds, all the work is on the front side of the shot because you're walking around, getting to the right place, you know. But when you shoot game, all the work is on the back side of the shot, because then begins the job of butchering the animal. And that takes a long time. Or you can get pretty good at it. You can get to where you can get that ready to take to the butcher in about an hour, if you're good. But there are several animals here, and some of them quite large. And so the people are watching all of this take place. And the great sacramental ceremony of the splashing of the blood and the wiping of the blood and the draining of the blood and that sermon of the blood, as Benar puts it, being preached throughout this long day together. And then after all of that work is done, Aaron comes out and he blesses the people. And then Moses and Aaron themselves, in the sight of all the people, they go into the tabernacle. What do you think they were doing in there? It doesn't say, does it? Well, I think that there were a couple of instances where they were required also to take the blood inside the tabernacle, that blood would plead there as well. And so we have the Lord Jesus Christ typified, pleading before the very presence of God in the midst of them. And then Moses and Aaron come out from the tabernacle, and there's still all of that meat that's laying on the altar, all those animal parts laying on the altar. And as soon as Moses and Aaron walk out of that tabernacle, fire comes shooting out from the tabernacle straight to that altar, right over the top of the laver, whoosh, and consumes all of the offerings that have been laid there before the Lord. Do you know why fire came out from the tabernacle that day? Because they did everything according to the commandment of God, and God would let them know that He accepted their offerings. You see that? In chapter 9, verse 7, and Moses said unto... No, sorry, verse 6. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." And so Moses and Aaron go in the temple. They come out. The Lord manifests His glory. And then that fire comes out and consumes all of those animal pieces that are on the altar. And the people, for their part, they recognize that the Lord is in their midst, and they fall down with a shout upon their faces. They recognize the great and watershed day that it is, that the Lord, after all of those promises, throughout all of those years of slavery in Egypt, throughout all of that time that they've spent now, about a year wandering in the wilderness, about hearing the promise that the Lord would dwell among us, He will set His name among us, He will come and tabernacle with us, He will be here, and then He comes. And He comes, and they fall down in worship before Him. And there is something greater that I'm here to tell you about today as well. And that is that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. And that is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a greater glory than the glory of the Old Testament. That while this is an amazing and dramatic scene, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us, and we'll get to this Lord willing next week, that when we come to church to worship the Lord, and that we worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we have His ordinance laid before Him, that we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That there is a greater glory here. Jesus said as much. A greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Moses is here. And this is indeed most certainly true. Because we are a people, no longer a church under age, we don't need those sensible signs. Because by faith, we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is in the preaching of His Word and His Gospel. Thus ends the reading of Leviticus chapter 9. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.